Assalamu alaikum. The following is a recording of the Qalam Institute webinar on the Isra wal Mi'raj, the miraculous night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qalam is committed to provide podcasts, webinars, classes, and much, much more for the entire family for free. Find out how you can be part of our mission to enable as many people as possible to benefit from these resources at supportqalam.com.
And up next, we have Ustada Fatima. She will be sharing with us the start of this journey, now that, you know, how it began, how the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca to embark on this journey. And I want to apologize in advance, Ustada Murphy, spoiler alert. I was trying not to say things that are going to come up in the event, but spoiler alert, he gave you little nuggets of what's to come up ahead. So inshallah, Ustada Fatima, sunnah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. So Ustad Murphy, he did give us a nice little primer, as well as Ustad Bainullah, he gave us a nice little primer to what's coming up and the different things that we're going to discuss when it comes to Isra wa Mi'raj and the beginning of the journey. And what's really beautiful about this particular journey and this particular thing is that we see that the Prophet is going through, that we see what the Prophet has went through before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this miraculous journey, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him this miraculous journey. So the journey begins with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used to frequently sleep in the haram. He used to frequently sleep in what was called the hatim. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to frequently sleep here, and one day he's laying down and he would reflect on different things. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is laying down and he's reflecting, and the angel Jibril alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam and also another angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they came to the Prophet ﷺ, the angel Jibril and the angel Mikael pointed to the Prophet ﷺ and told this third messenger that, you know, told this third angel that this is the messenger. This is Rasulullah ﷺ. The next day, the angel Jibril came again. These three angels, they actually came again the next day. And they also had another conversation about the Prophet ﷺ, and then they left. And on the third night, the Prophet, he's laying down this specific place. And some say actually like Hani, one of the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her house was like basically within the area where you do tawaf. So the Prophet is laying, he's in his family's home. And the angel Jibril and these particular angels, they come to the Prophet ﷺ at this time. And when they come to the Prophet ﷺ on this third night, they then do something that had occurred in the life of the Prophet ﷺ before this moment. And some scholars say that it occurred twice before, some say once before. But this is in what happens is that the angel Jibril, he now has to, he washes the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. So the angel Jibril alayhi salam, he took his fingers and he drew a trace or a line on the chest of the Prophet ﷺ until his navel, until his belly button. And he splits open the torso of the Prophet ﷺ. And when he does this, the Prophet ﷺ had already experienced this before, but when he does this, he tells the angel Mikael alayhi salam, he says, "Utuni bastat min ma'i zamzam." He tells the angel Mikael to bring him a vessel or a container that contained the water of Zamzam, contained the Zamzam water. And he tells him to bring it so that the angel Jibril can wash the heart of the Prophet. He says, so that I may wash and cleanse his heart. And you guys, you know, we just talked about the year of sorrow. We just talked about the difficulty that the Prophet ﷺ had experienced, the difficult time that the Prophet ﷺ was going through. And talking about that, imagine all of the different things that is on the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine how difficult his life must be right now. That he is at a moment where, you know, the Muslims have been experiencing so much. At this point is the 12th year of prophethood. And every single year came with his challenges. You know, they're barely out of the boycott. You know, the Prophet's wife has passed away. The first person to believe in him, the first person to support him, the first person to have his back, she's passed away. the Prophet's uncle has passed away. The one that was keeping the Quraysh from torturing him specifically, from treating him in such a bad way specifically. And then the Prophet goes to Ta'if, and he's trying to find a place of refuge for all of the Muslims, not just for everybody, and they treat him in such a horrible way. So imagine the hardship and the stress that the Prophet is experiencing at this time, what he's going through at this time. And so you have here that the washing of the heart with the Zamzam water, the cleansing of the heart, is to alleviate the pressure that the Prophet is feeling. It is to alleviate the hardship, that the Prophet is feeling on his heart. So Jibril alayhi salam, he takes the heart of the Prophet out of his chest and he washes it three times. And with each of these washings, the angel Mikael alayhi salam would then bring the bring Jibril alayhi salam a new bowl of water. And this bowl was made of gold. Okay. And it says, the narration says that this bowl was filled with wisdom, with hikmah and iman, wisdom and belief. And whatever, however that manifests, remains, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Now, after the Prophet, after Jibril alayhi salam puts the heart of the Prophet back into his chest, then what happens is then Jibril alayhi salam placed the mark or the seal of prophethood onto the back of the Prophet between his shoulder blades. And here is saying that actually the seal of prophethood was already there, but Jibril alayhi salam basically made it more pronounced where he can see it more. Now you have that now the angels, they bring the Prophet's ride. They bring him, you know, his vehicle, how he's going to make this miraculous journey. And what's interesting is that the narrations actually talk about this vehicle, this means of transportation. And this means of transportation is called the Buraq. And remember, this journey that we're talking about is a miraculous journey. So obviously, the ride that the Prophet would have, the means of transportation that the Prophet would have, it will be miraculous as well. It's going to be something that we've never even seen. You know, it's going to be something that we have never even, you know, fathomed could be. But the animal that they bring the buraq to the door of the Kaaba. Okay, and the animal that they bring, when the Prophet walks up to it, he describes the animal as having four legs, to be very white and very large. Okay, but it was larger than a donkey. Sorry, one second. It was larger than a donkey, but smaller than a mule. Okay, and so the legs of it were the legs of like a camel, for example. And so it's talking about the way that this animal looked. And then the buraq, the way that it traveled, it traveled at the speed of light, okay? So as soon as the Prophet sat on the buraq took its first step, and the Prophet realized how mind-blowing this ride is, how mind-blowing this animal is, and that the animal will go as far as the eye could see, and it will just go very quickly. It will go very fast. It will go very quickly. And it was kind of like, you know, a spaceship, like faster than a spaceship type of thing. So you see that the angel Jibril and the angel Mikael alayhi salam, they both accompany the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this journey. Imagine how miraculous and how awesome that is. That the Prophet is on this buraq, he's on this miraculous, you know, animal that's like speeding, that's going like so quick, and have the angel Jibril and the angel Mikael alayhi salam, and they're on the side of the Prophet. So they go and they travel on either side of the Prophet. And then they stop. They stop the buraq at a certain place. And when they stop the buraq at this certain place, the angel Jibril tells the Prophet, okay, we're gonna stay here and we're gonna pray two rakats. Okay, we're gonna stay here and we're gonna pray two rakats. So the Prophet prays two rakats. Then the angel Jibril says to the Prophet, he says, Atadri ayna sallayt. Do you know where you prayed? Do you know where you prayed? And the Prophet, he says, no. He answers in a negative. He says, no, I don't know. And the Prophet, when he replies, the angel Jibril tells him that you just prayed in a very blessed place, in a very blessed land. And he says, this place is the place that you will migrate to. And you guys probably already know this, but this is the place of Medina. And the Prophet ends up migrating to Medina. And see how beautiful that is? What situation did the Prophet just get out of? He just got out of the situation of Ta'if, where that is where he thought that he was going to go to a place, community. You know, that's where he thought he was going to go and get to be able to, you know, have these people to worship freely. And then you have here that the very first place that Allah, the very first place that Allah SWT allows for Prophet to go on this journey, that Jibril alayhi salam takes the Prophet on his journey, is to Medina. Letting the Prophet know, listen, God got you. Allah SWT sees what you wanted. Allah SWT sees what you're doing for your community. And Allah SWT has your back. Then they go and they travel further. And when they travel further, then the angel Jibril stops the Buraq again. And then he tells the Prophet to pray again. And then he asks, after the Prophet makes those two rakat, then the angel Jibril asks the Prophet a second time. He says, Atadri ayna saldayt. Do you know where you've prayed? Okay, do you know where you've prayed? And the Prophet answers for a second time in the negative. He says, no, I don't. And the angel Jibril tells the Prophet, he says, you prayed at the place of Madian. Okay, he tells him, you prayed at the place of Madian in the Shajara of Musa. He tells him that you prayed at the place of Madian, the same tree that Musa alayhi salam sought refuge in. The same tree that when Musa alayhi salam was going through a difficult moment and a difficult time in his life, running away from Fir'aun, running away from, you know, the tortures and the tyranny of Fir'aun, that he sat down and he made a very powerful dua to Allah. He sat down there and he made a very powerful dua to Allah SWT. And he asks Allah SWT, he says, he asks Allah, he tells Allah that I am in need of whatever good that you have coming my way. I am in need of whatever good coming my way. And so this is the second stop that the Prophet ﷺ makes. Then he goes again. They get on the Buraq again and they go. And now it's time for the third stop. And when they stop, they get to this third stop, then the angel Jibril tells the Prophet the same thing, pray to rakats. You know, the Prophet prays. And then the angel Jibril asks the Prophet, you guys guessed it correct. He asks him, Atadri ayna saldayt, do you know where you pray? Faqala la, the Prophet says no. And then he tells him that you prayed, this place that you prayed is you prayed in Mount Sina, Turu Sina. You prayed in the area where Allah SWT taught, kallam Allah Musa. Well, Allah SWT talked to Musa alayhi salam directly. You know, where Allah SWT talked to Musa alayhi salam directly. These are all places that are so miraculous. These are places where Allah SWT supported his people, where Allah SWT supported his nation, where Allah SWT supported his believers. And so he tells them that you prayed in Mount Sinai. Then they get to their fourth stop, okay? And they're on this journey. And they stop here, and the angel Jibril tells the Prophet again to pray. And the Prophet prays two rakats. And then the angel Jibril asks him again, do you know where you prayed? And the Prophet says, no. And he tells him that you've prayed here in Bethlehem, Wulida Isa. This is the place where Isa alayhi salam was born, where Maryam alayhi salam gave birth to Isa alayhi salam. Now, the story of in the miraculous journey of Isra or Mi'raj, that the Buraq will frequently stop at different places along the journey. He will slow down, I should say. And the Prophet will notice different things. And there are so many different instances to bring up, but for the sake of time, I've chosen one. You know, there are so many. There are a plethora of different instances that occur, different situations that occurred that the Prophet noticed and that he asked questions about and he inquired about to Jibril alayhi salam. He would see something and he would ask Jibril alayhi salam, what is that? And Jibril alayhi salam would tell him. And from there, the Prophet would then keep going. They would keep going. And so you have in this one situation that the narration says, وَجَرَ رِيحَ طَيِّبَ, that the Prophet ﷺ smelled a very beautiful fragrance. And he asked Jibril, he says, Ya Jibril, ma hadhihi ra'iha. What is this smell? You know, what is this beautiful smell that I'm smelling? And the Jibril alayhi salam, he tells the Prophet alayhi salam that the smell that you're smelling, the scent that you're smelling, is coming from the woman who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun, okay? And it's also the fragrance of the woman's children. And it's really interesting, right? Because it's like, what do you mean? Why is her fragrance so important and her children's fragrance so important that the Prophet gets to smell it on his miraculous journey? What he goes on to explain. And Jibril alayhi salam explains, he says, one day the woman was brushing the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun. And while she was brushing the daughter of Fir'aun's hair, the woman dropped the brush and the brush fell out of the woman's hand, so she dropped the brush. And when she picked it up, she said, Bismillah, but then she cursed Fir'aun, okay? And so the daughter of Fir'aun, she sees this, she hears this, and she turns to him, and she says, Awalaki Rabbi ghayra abi, you have a Lord that's other than my father? And the mother, the lady who would comb her hair, she tells her, yeah. The woman replies. She says, yes. And she is not even scared about it. She says, my Lord is your Lord. That is Allah. And she says, my Lord is the Lord of my father. And that is Allah. And so what happens is that then the daughter tells Fir'aun, the daughter tells the woman, I'm going to tell my father what happened. And what happens is that the lady says, by all means, go ahead. You can tell her. Okay? You, by all means, go ahead. You can tell him what happened. And so he does, she goes and she tells. And when she tells Fir'aun says, you know what? You need to denounce this God. You need to make sure that you don't believe in it, or else I'm going to kill you. And the lady says, go ahead. But before you kill me, just promise me you'll bury me. Because in my religion, that's what we do. We get buried. And so what happens is that Fir'aun tells them, yes, I'll bury you. And Fir'aun had a pit made, okay? And that pit had metal in it until it was boiled. And he brought forth the woman, okay? He brought forth the woman, and he told the woman to, then he brought forth the woman and he threw her in there. And the thing was that she, when the soldiers of Fir'aun were about to place she had a baby. She had a very small, tiny baby. And so she was very worried about that baby. And so when the soldiers of Fir'aun were about to throw the baby there, she started to retract. She started to say, my family. And that is when the baby spoke. And the baby told her, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just go. And this is one of the four of the miraculous babies that spoke at infancy. And look at the amount of, you know, courage that this lady had, to the point that where the Prophet is on this miraculous journey and he smells her fragrance. The Prophet is on this miraculous journey and he smells his fragrance. And this is something worthy of noting, that we don't back down from our religion, that we don't back down from our belief, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us. Now, we get to the point where the Prophet, he keeps moving forward. A lot of other things happen. He sees a lot of other things. I highly recommend that, you know, for an extended version of this particular narration, that you listen to the podcast and also like so many other resources out there to read about. But the one big important part is that the Prophet, they move forward and he hears a creation come up and talk to the Prophet and greet him. And if there's a creation of Allah who gives salam to the Prophet. And it says, they said to him, Assalamu alaikum, to the one who came first in line, meaning the one who came first in line to paradise. And then they said, Assalamu alaikum, to the one who's at the very end of dunya, and Assalamu alaikum to the one who has gathered everyone together. And when they said that, the angel Jibril told the Prophet to return salams. So the Prophet returned those salams. And afterwards, another person came and said salam in the same way. And the Prophet returned salam. And then another person came and gave salam in the same way. And the Prophet then returned salam. And then the Prophet turned to Jibril alayhi salam, and he said, who are these people? And Jibril alayhi salam said, this is Ibrahim, the Musa alayhi salam and Isa, and they are the ones who are greeting you on this journey. Now the Prophet's journey continues until he comes upon a valley. And when he comes upon